Wizard of Whiskey presents Swig and Ramble, the podcast for the modern age. Join our host for all of the shenanigans, featuring Justin Corey, Smoke Show Violet Smith, the vivacious Nicole Woolsey, the ever fabulous Aaron Gore, and their special guests as we journey together with hedonism in our hearts and a drink in our hand. Adult language used. Listener beware. Cheers, darling.
And a three. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. For both of you still listening, we are thrilled to have you back. The previous episode that you heard with Julia, myself, and Chris was originally going to be our season five opener. However, after we recorded it early in 2025, things changed rapidly for the Swig and Ramble team, and we have a plethora of new co-hosts. So let's go down the line in reverse alphabetical order. Violet Smith, tell us about yourself.
Hello, I'm Violet. I am 27 years old, and I'm an adult content creator. I'm very tired right now.
Cool. We are all down in San Diego. Next we have Nicole. Nicole, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well.
I'm happy to be here. My name is Nicole. I am 41 years old. I am a mom of five. I'm from Utah. I used to be a Mormon. I'm not anymore. And now I make adult content for a living. It's a very wild, drastic difference in life paths.
Sounds like it. I mean, either way, there's special underwear, right? So exactly. There you go. Ba-dum-bum.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Just for the underwear. That's all.
Perfect. And lastly, Aaron, tell us about yourself, your hopes, your dreams, your life goals, all the fun stuff.
Well, hey, everybody. My name is Aaron Gore, Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Beer 30, as well as Vice President of the American Craft Beer Hall of Fame. And I, too, create adult content. None of which sees the light of day, nor would anybody pay money for it. But yeah, I'm going to make it one way or the other, and you can't stop.
They forced me into the pool, and yeah, it was enlightening. So
it's called boudoir, and it's classy. That's what I'm told, Justin.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's a way of saying yes. Justin was wearing short shorts, so yeah, boudoir. I like it. So, well, yeah. So welcome to all my fantastic new co-hosts. This season and this podcast, we're going to get back to our roots of hedonism. We're going to get back to our roots of talking about fun things, not just booze. I mean, a lot of us are in the booze side of the business, so there will be plenty of that. But yeah, stick around for some real fermented fuckery and some great shenanigans. So thanks everyone for joining, and let's jump this off with the three P's. Today we're talking about, not quite, we are talking about polyamory, potent potables, and Pokemon. So the first thing I want to know is, what in the actual fuck is Pokemon? Speak louder if you can.
Pokemon are Pocket Monsters, a Japanese game. Perhaps I can't remember when, but early 1990.
Okay, you can't hear you. You have to hold it much closer.
Oh. But they're cute. They're fun. I don't know. What does everybody else know about them?
Nothing. I know nothing. That's why I'm curious. So what? What is it? What is a Pokemon?
I guess I'm not really sure how to explain it. I guess.
Is it a cartoon?
Is it a toy? Is it a game?
Both, yes.
Okay.
All of the above. I'm pretty sure it started out as a manga and then became.
I remember the cards. Yeah.
And it became a show. I'm not 100%.
And then it was like a Pokemon Go app.
So as someone who grew up as an extremely nerdy kid in the 90s, I can tell you exactly what a Pokemon is, because it actually started as a game and then turned into a manga and anime, but it was originally intended to be a bug collecting simulator. And it was actually Nintendo put some pressure on Game Freak, the company that made it, to turn it into the small monster battling, dog fighting ring simulator that we know it today. And since then, it's become one of, if not the most valuable franchise on Earth. And as the father of a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old, it is so extraordinarily popular. And Violet, I know that you sell Pokemon cards as one of your mini hustles, and more popular maybe than it's ever been, which is just absolutely incredible to me now, going on almost 30 years since it was first introduced to the
world. Cool. So one thing we just forgot about, and by we, I mean me, what's in your glass, Violet? Oh, and also, what sour is your mash?
I got a Manhattan, I believe. I haven't tried it yet. I'll get to it soon. Sour is my mask. Oh, man. I was traveling today, so probably all of traveling in general.
I feel that.
I just, yeah, that's all I can think of at all.
Being closer. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm having a hard time. Yeah.
Nicole, what's in your glass and what sour is your match?
I also have a Manhattan because you made it for me. Nice. And I tasted it. It was okay.
It was okay, she says.
I don't know how to take it yet. It's a little strong.
Yeah, okay.
I feel you on the traveling thing. It drives me absolutely insane when you're going through TSA. And people are just deliberately slow for no goddamn reason when I just want to get to my gate. That's it.
Yeah. I will triple that, because honestly, we're all traveling to get somewhere. If you are chilling at the airport, you deserve to be flogged. So, yeah. Aaron, what is in your glass and what sour is your match, brother?
Well, in my glass is Kava, which is a non-alcoholic beer brand that also has THC and nootropics. Relatively new brand, doing some really cool stuff out of Colorado. Kevin Waltermeyer, serial entrepreneur, has been on Shark Tanks behind it, having a lot of fun working with Kevin over there, having a lot of fun enjoying the product too. But what sours my mash? I can't say it's TSA, because at the end of the day, some of us have TSA pre-check. It's no big deal. Gentlemen, go ahead and please line up and scatter your praise my direction as you will. But no, what sours my mash is that a Wednesday was my birthday just a couple of days prior to us recording this. And I not only had to work, but I had to work extra long and extra frustrating hours. And frankly, I would have much rather been sitting on a beach somewhere, smoking a cigar, drinking some scotch, and talking to all of you. So a little disappointed that that's how it turned out. But tomorrow, get to actually celebrate having a wonderful meal and should be having some fun. So it should get better from here.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yep. It's going to be great. So I have a little bit of Six Grapes port. I'm a big port fan, and it is getting to that season, although I don't really believe in this whole seasonality crap. Despite the fact that many of our next few episodes and programs are going to be about holidays and different seasonalities of things.
Justin, you are in San Diego. Every season is the same season.
Exactly. It's all just California weather. So
how do I pick a what sours my mash? Let's start with traffic. I have never met a person who drives a Prius or a Tesla who is not an absolute horrible person. Now, I've met plenty of people, and I don't know. I met some cool people, and I don't know what they drive. So if you're listening and you do drive one of those vehicles, probably not talking about you. But seriously, trade those in for real cars. Like, that's absolutely fucking ridiculous. People who drive Teslas are, even if they have the sticker, like, hey, I bought this before he went crazy and all that other shit, you're driving a Nazi mobile from a Nepo baby born into an apartheid slavery mine. So you are not saving the earth. You are, in fact, continuing to destroy it. If you're driving a Prius, the gas is the one on the right. This is universal to all cars. When you need to move the fuck out the way, put your foot down on the right pedal, not the left. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Well, Justin, you know how to tell if somebody drives a Tesla, right?
How?
Don't worry, they'll tell you.
Yeah, that's accurate. Zero. That is accurate. Yeah. Just the worst people ever. Worse than Nazis.
I actually can't say anything. My daughter's best friend's dad, who's actually a really nice guy, drives a Tesla. The fact that he happens to be German is not a good look in this conversation.
Not so much.
But he is a great guy.
Okay. Ich bin ein Tesla. Got it. All right. So the next P, potent potables. I stole that from Jeopardy straight up. Hashtag Trebek for life. Potent potables, obviously, for those who don't know, booze. We talk about booze on this podcast. We started as a booze podcast, but we're going to be slipping into more hedonistic, fun, less boozy things on sort of a episode-to-episode basis. So join us for all that. There is a lot of crazy shit going on in the booze world right now. One in particular is tariffs. And what's happening is some dumb fuck sitting in Washington said, hey, let's have tariffs against everything, against countries, without understanding any of the words or being able to spell tariffs or apparently Tylenol. said, hey, Lord, we're gonna do tariffs. And what that does to the wine, beer, spirits, cider, and basically anything we eat, drink, smoke, use, sleep on, drive, hold in our hands, play with, take a picture with, text with, any of those things, almost all of them have components or are completely made outside of the United States. So what that means is now for that bottle of scotch, you are paying an extra fee, which is not, by the way, taken care of by a foreign country. It's taken care of by us, meaning it's paid for by us, which is basically just a tax on us. So good job, fuckface. That's all I got for potent potables. What was the last P? Polyamory. What the fuck is polyamory?
It's loving more than one person in a relationship. It's not monogamy.
Huh?
So there's, you know, other ways to love people in relationships. And you don't have to totally go in the monogamy way. A lot of people do because that's what society pushes. But then there's those of us who, I was monogamous for 18 years and then started doing adult content and was like, yeah, this is not going to work well in a monogamous type relationship. And plus I was Mormon and I got married when I was 18, like 3 weeks after high school graduation. My husband and I, we were like virgins at our wedding, you know, all that shit. And then 18 years later, we were like, hey, guess what? We want to experience more in life. Like, you good with that? And he was like, yeah, I'm good with that. And I was like, yeah, I'm good with that too. And so then we opened our marriage and now I have a boyfriend that I've had for 5 years.
Okay.
Okay. It's called ethical non-monogamy. You still have rules and boundaries. You have to have trust. You have to talk. You have to communicate. It's not just like a lot of people are like, oh, open marriage, you just, you know, fuck whoever you want. That's not how it works at all, actually. If that was the case, that would be something very different.
I'd say in so many cases, too, it actually requires more trust. Actually requires more trust than just a more typical, I guess, traditional monogamous relationship, because you do need to set boundaries that need to be in stone, because those same boundaries are what gives everybody the trust to understand what the constraints are about what they are comfortable doing, and, you know, makes it so that everybody feels like they're still being respected and being treated as a partner. So, you know, in a lot of ways, it really is the same attitudes and the same approaches as you would have in a monogamous relationship, you know, respecting your partner, respecting their boundaries, respecting the things that are important to your own values as a collective, while still acknowledging the fact that the other person also has things outside of, you know, just the two of you, just like they might like different foods than you do, just like they might have hobbies that you don't necessarily participate in. And, you know, it can be very easy for us to draw these big circles around what is acceptable and what isn't acceptable, whether it's related to sex or relationships or, you know, pretty much anything. People are going to find some way of drawing some stupid ass circle around. But I think as long as you're, you know, setting those rules and respecting them and, you know, being honest with people and being respectful of their feelings on the matter, then, you know, whatever the topic is,
deep healing.
Who's getting hurt?
Because I didn't know I had relationship attachment issues. I didn't know I had daddy issues. I didn't know I had any of these things until I started going outside of my own marriage and then being like, oh, maybe I am the problem. I should fix that. And it actually helped my marriage tenfold. Like, just because of the amount of self awareness that I needed to reach that level. Like, it's pretty crazy. It actually, a lot of people are like, it's going to backfire. And I'm like, it might, maybe one day. But also, you know, monogamous relationships don't always work out either. At the end of the day, the individual has to be responsible for themselves and what they like, and be willing to accept other people unconditionally and in a non-judgmental way. Like, it's just a different form of love.
Well, and I think a lot of people misunderstand it as well. And I think part of that's conditioning. Part of that is because for a lot of people, it isn't something that would necessarily appeal to them. And that's also okay. I think too often this can be like the, you know, the whole vegan thing of, well, I went vegan, so obviously I'm trying to convert the whole world to being fucking vegan. You know how you know someone's a vegan, Justin? Don't worry, they'll tell you. It's the same exact thing as what Tesla's. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think in these circumstances, you know, it's very easy for people to not necessarily understand how you could love one person and then love other people as well. And I know plenty of people, let's use food as an analogy. You know, I know plenty of people who just want to sit down and eat the same meal every single day, and they're comfortable with that. And matter of fact, they're happier doing that than trying a bunch of new things. That's amazing. And for those people, I want them to be able to eat whatever it is that they really enjoy every single day. There's other people who are more adventurous eaters and who might have a favorite dish, but they eat every day, then that would actually make them like that dish less than if they're still able to, you know, have kimchi jjigae one day and tacos the next day and a burger the third day, and then circle back to whatever it is that might be their favorite dish or even just one of their favorite dishes. Both those are totally valid ways of eating. Both those are totally valid ways of approaching a relationship with food. I think we get into trouble when we start abstracting relationships into being something that's really that much different, when in a lot of ways it really is.
Exactly. It's just,
you know, now you've got someone on the other side of the equation that you have to be respectful for. But as long as you're doing that, there's really not a huge difference, and not really any harm, like, other than telling people that if that is valuable to them and they are doing it in an ethical way, that they can't participate in it.
Written
exactly.
By fiction and myth writers centuries ago, for a time when it was meant to control entire populations, don't really have a place in modern society where people know what a cell is. They know what an atom is. They can, you know, we took more pictures today in a swimming pool than the entire world took from the year 1800 to the year 1915.
Literally.
I'm not entirely sure if that's an indictment or a positive for society.
I agree with you on that. But in an age where my phone has 1 billion times the processing power and memory than what it took them to get to space and land on the fucking moon, I feel like some of these ideals are not just old-fashioned, they are fascist. Speaking of, if you're out there and you're a vegan who drives a Tesla, who doesn't believe in polyamory or know what Pokemon is, fuck you. Just saying.
I've got bad news for you.
You know 7 of them. Got it. Okay. We're going to pass a bunch on our way to dinner, I'm sure. Fucking vegans, man. I don't know. Whatever. Impossible burger means you're eating plants that are made to bleed like a burger. If you just ate the burger, it's actually better for the world. Anyway. All right. So we've learned a lot of stuff. We learned about polyamory today. You're welcome. Very Sesame Street on today's episode. We learned about the 3 P's. So join us. Day, what's that?
What's the number of the day, Justin?
7.
You had the opportunity to go with 69 and you.
I was going to say 69.
Well, that's, that is because I have the least dirty mind of us all.
You don't make enough content.
So you raise an interesting point. Years ago, my first attempt at my first blog and podcast, called The Grapevine Consulting, which eventually morphed into Wizard of Whiskey. One of my respected mentors who I'd reached out to and said, "Hey, I'm also doing a podcast. I see you've done." He had this very journalistic progress and had gone from TV and journalism into his own podcast. This was at a time where there were like 7 podcasters. Not booze podcasters, total podcasters. This was like 2013, very early on. And I had some pictures that he thought were racy. I was at a cigar event, and I took some pictures with the Tilted Kilt team and the Hooters team. And he told me, "Hey, no one's going to take you seriously as a journalist, as a podcaster, if you don't take that shit down and just be straight arrow whiskey all the time." But even then, I was the goal of Wizard of Whiskey. The goal of it was hedonistic pursuits, talking about cigars on the beach, talking about pleasure, talking about fun things. And you try and drag conversations out of winemakers, and you try and get them to talk about something other than, "Oh, look at my great vintage," or "Look at this incredible vineyard that, you know, we make exactly 9 bottles every year." And you try and drag more information out of people, but they just want to give you the talking points and move on with their life. So the good news is now I've got 3 people to sort of push me better and harder to get back to that hedonistic pursuit. So thank you all.
But literally, you're very welcome. No, we are always happy to be the devils on your shoulder. in this case, almost literally with Violet Nicole,
I need to look at her TikToks more. Like she sends me like 62 a day, which is awesome. So love you, Lauren. To all of you out there listening, stay tuned for many, many, many more episodes and some cool shit coming out from the Swig and Ramble team, including the Ramble After Dark series. Which we will tell you more about at another time.
It'll be exactly like Swig and Ramble. The only difference is we'll all be naked. You won't be able to see it, But you'll
know.
Yeah.
Awkward pauses.
He's not wrong. All right, ladies and gentlemen, goodbye, good night, and good luck.